This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsaver, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning, Charlie, and good morning, one and all.
And I'm just dancing. It's a gorgeous day.
Yeah, this part of it, it is.
And I'm, this part of this.
Well, they're saying there might be rain moving in.
But whatever. A little rain is good for the garden.
Yeah, of course. And that's why we're here,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Yeah. A little helping hand in the garden, that's what Charlie does. And we often get calls from listeners with great tips.
Mm-hmm.
So take these phone numbers and apply them as you will. And in Toronto, here's the number to call and reach Charlie Dobbin, 416-360-0740. And remote areas.
Outside
Toronto. Yeah. 1-866-740-4740. My mind is so discombobulated.
I know, you're all over the
place
here.
It's such a weekend that the Raptors have just taken my brain and
really, and you're not like, even a basketball fan.
Well, at 5'4", what chance did I have? You know, but no, it's absolutely true that everybody has just gone completely gaga over the team, and it's marvelous. It's great for the city.
It's just great in general.
Yeah.
Yes, it's funny. My son, who's been a armchair general manager of the Raptors for many years because he played a lot of basketball in his youth. He was, all just agaga at this, what was happening. And of course, making it to the finals and then winning that game. And his eyes are like popping out of his head. But then last night, he's saying to me, like I was trying to go to bed and he's saying to me, so I'm really worried about Kawhi. Like, what if he doesn't sign with us?
Oh.
And what would that mean? And he's going on. And I'm like, would you stop worrying about it? Live in the moment. He's going, I can't live in the moment. I'm so worried about the future. I'm like, go talk to Masai. Leave me out of this.
Yeah.
I want to live in the moment. I'm just going to enjoy the ride.
And all the very best. Go Raptors, go.
Absolutely.
All righty. What have you got going?
All kinds of stuff. You know it. Today, the Barrie Garden Club is holding their annual plant sale. That's from 9 a.m. until noon. Meet in the parking lot of East Bayfield Community Center. That's on Livingston Street. Cash sales only. Today as well, the St. Paul's Anglican Church is having a big fundraiser. They call it the Plant Sale Extravaganza. It's from 8 o'clock this morning until 2 p.m., corner of Young and Maple View in Barrie. Huge selection of perennial plants, home and garden-related vendors, upscale garage sale, barbecue, bake table, all kinds of stuff. So that's a fun one if you can get to that one. This weekend, if you're in the Burlington area, there's lots going on at the Royal Botanical Gardens. Celebrate the season because the lilacs are in bloom. And of course, the lilac dell at Royal Botanical Gardens is famous, internationally famous, worldwide, because they were, I don't know if they still are, but they did have the largest collection of lilacs anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So such a lovely place to visit at this time of year. On a nice day, take a picnic because it's all, it's just really nicely laid out. You can easily relax. Have sit in the grass, have some food. Of course, as well going on, they've got a bunch of programming. There's the History of Hendry Park Heritage Walk. There's tours. There is also a program called Mindfulness While Walking. There's the Budding Artist, the Introduction to Canoeing, of all kinds of stuff, and a free Back to Nature hike. This Tuesday, June 4th, 7:30 p.m., the Richmond Hill Garden and Hort Society will be meeting at the McConachie Senior Center, which is 10100 Yonge Street. The guest speaker is Jim Lounsbery on the subject of the art of pruning. Now, this is a must-go-to event. Mm-hmm. I don't know any hobby gardener who's comfortable with their pruning technique and their confidence of when and what and where to prune. Jim Lounsbery is brilliant. He knows all you need to know, and he's going to be sharing all his knowledge.
Wow.
This is
good.
Because remember, late spring is a great time for a refresher on seasonal pruning techniques, including the idea of plants that benefit from pruning now, reasons for pruning, and selection of the right tools for a variety of pruning jobs. So Jim will be sharing all that. And they are also hosting a flower show, iris, rose, and peony. So that'll smell amazing. So if you can get to the Richmond Hill Hort Society, that's this Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. One more next weekend, Saturday, June 8th, all day, 10 to 4. There's a fun day going on. It's called the Neighbor Link North York. So this is a garden tour. It's an afternoon tea. It is a fundraiser. After 25 years of serving the community, rain or shine, garden tour starts at the Gibson House Museum. 9 private gardens in Willowdale are included. It ends with afternoon tea at the John McKenzie House. So other activities, children's stuff. Get your tickets online. You can go to Snapt, you can go to Eventbrite, or you can go to www.neighborlink.org. Hello, spring.
Okay. The Raptors stole my mind. So I just dropped the ball and forgot our little mantra.
Oh, that's okay.
Call early, call often. One question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, let Sebastian know, because
we love first-time callers.
You'll get that little
wings.
Get your garden wings before you get to the air. As a matter of fact, we have 4 callers lined up already, and 2 of them are first-time callers.
Excellent.
So we'll get to all of that and more here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's jog off to Georgetown, what do you say, and say hi and good morning to Sharon. Hi, Sharon, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How's everyone this morning?
Excellent. Good, how are you?
Good. I am just going out to buy some fertilizer for my plants. I have both perennials and annuals in the garden. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if what you would suggest, either the shake, like the little pellets, or a liquid fertilizer.
Either. It's more a question of lifestyle. Some people love mixing up a water-soluble fertilizer into the watering can and then, you know, put it on once a month on the calendar, go and watering the plants with the fertilized water by hand out of the watering can. Other people prefer, like you're saying, the little shake out of the pellets. Typically, that there's something out there, I think, called shake and feed, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
follow the instructions on that in terms of the quantity of pellets you put out on the ground. Like they kind of give you a certain amount of volume per square mm-hmm. meter. So you kind of figure that out, shake it all out there, and then you're done. You don't fertilize again for the rest of the season. So it's a one-stop shop, done, never have to think about fertilizing. I personally love that. I personally love fertilizing once and then forgetting about it. But then other people like that, mixing it up and being out there feeding each plant, really talking to the plants, you know, getting into the whole spirit of this plant and walking the garden that way. So really up to you, but do choose something that is for flowering plants, I would suggest.
Okay, the middle number, like you said, that the middle number has to be for flowering plants.
Typically, yes. I mean, my favorite all-time formulation for flowering plants was 15, 30, 15. So from mm-hmm. a ratio perspective, it's a 1-to-1 ratio when you do the 15, 30, 15. However, I don't think you'll find that formula out there anymore. It tends to be other sort of formulations, but it is usually a little higher number in the middle. So
is
that's
it
the
not
phosphorus.
Usually noted that it is for flowering plants.
Yeah.
So
yeah. A lot, you know, cedar feeder is for cedars, mm-hmm. you know, lawn food is for lawns, but flowering plant food could be for any of your vegetables,
right.
any of your flowering annuals, perennials, even flowering trees.
Okay, I use ProMix, and it says that fertilizing, that you don't have to do anything between, like, some of it's 3 months and 9 months and that. But I would think that you would have to do something besides just that, right?
Okay, but, like, when your ProMix is in your containers, you mean?
Yeah, like, you know, the bag of soil mix, and I usually mix it in with the when I'm planting in that, and it says about don't need to fertilize for 3 months or something like that.
Well, I would look pretty closely at that. You're right. So ProMix is an example of a container soil or a soilless mix that we always use, you know, for potting when we're making containers. So obviously you can use it in the garden as well. Because all the ingredients in that bag on their own have no fertility whatsoever, so completely inert, sterile products that are in the bag, they add fertilizer to it. And it used to be they would call it a nutrient charge. So it was a very, very tiny bit of fertilizer just to get the plant started. And then it was up to you to keep fertilizing through the season. So read carefully what it says. If it does say, you know, no need to fertilize for the entire season, growing season, then you're right. In a container, you're good to go. If you're mixing that in the garden, I would still add more fertilizer as the growing season progresses.
I thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Sharon. And
take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good day. Good weekend. And
fertilizers can be so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's like the manufacturers want you to have a huge shelf in your garage.
Of course.
So tomato
one
food,
bag for this
clematis
and,
food,
exactly.
You know, all those different foods. So be aware, exactly. Flowering plants. Like when we grow a tomato, what are we growing it for?
Yeah.
We're growing it for flowers because from the flowers we get the fruit. So you can use your flowering plant fertilizer on your tomatoes.
Right. Okay. From the manufacturer standpoint, it's how do I grow my profits?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, hey, got to get the bell out there.
Caller.
Evelyn
Welcome.
In Toronto, first time caller. Good morning. Hi, Evelyn.
Oh, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Oh, I need your help with my peach tree.
Okie doke.
Some of the leaves are curling up.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fruit does appear, you know, when it's time to reap the fruit, never good. They
good.
Always have a hard core in the peach, in the fruit.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what kind of spray I should use to spray the fruit tree with.
Okay, so have you had this happen before on your peach tree?
Oh, yeah. The first year I bought it, it was good. The second year, not too bad, but all the rest of the years, this thing has been happening all the time.
So it's been a number of years this has been going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you should have called me years ago.
I know. I always wanted to call you, but I'm a bit nervous.
Okay. Well, it's a very, very common syndrome that you've got happening there. And if you wanted to look it up either on the web or in a book or, you know, any kind of a plant book from the library, it's called peach leaf curl. Very common. It's the new tips. So the newest growth, and it happens this time of year, and of course with all the rain we've been having, it's happening probably in a big way. So all that curling, you'll even get some red color to those leaves.
Yes,
and
that's what happens. Yeah,
and it's the plant is very unhappy because of course it's not maximizing the sun, it's not photosynthesizing. But I'm just saying, like, those flat green leaves are able to be like little solar panels, whereas when you've got curled leaves that are not even green, you don't have that photosynthesis happening. So it does weaken the plant, the peach tree, over the time.
Mm-hmm.
It won't kill it the first year, but it does weaken it. So what are you going to do differently? In the fall, you could buy it now, but you can't use it now. But go to your local garden center and pick up something called dormant spray.
Oh, I did that already.
Oh, sorry.
I always spray the dormant spray, and then
really?
I put a fruit spray on it. But then I never get any good fruit. They always have this
hardness
inside and outside. There's always something like glue stuck on the fruit.
Sure, because you've probably got some insect infestation going on there. But I'm surprised if you're using the dormant spray. You're using the dormant spray as per directions, mixing up the lime sulfur.
Yes, before the blossoms came out.
Okay, when the plant was dormant.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would recommend you use that same dormant spray again in the fall. So
in the fall.
Yep, as we get sort of to the end of September, early October, spray just the way you did in the spring with the dormant spray. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to annihilate the fungus fungus that's causing the peach leaf curl for next spring.
So what can I do for the summer?
Not much. You can, if you read on the dormant spray kit, you can use the lime sulfur alone. You don't use the oil, but you can use the lime sulfur through the growing season as per instructions, mixing with water, of course, and never spraying when the plant is flowering, which I imagine it's doing now, right?
The flowers are all gone now.
They are gone. Okay. So look closely at what you've got. Back in the day, there used to be all kinds of insecticides and fungicides for fruit trees. Nowadays, if we don't use those, it's all about tender, loving care. So fertilize the tree, make sure it's pruned properly, and work with what you've got, which at this point is lime sulfur for the season, but use the dormant spray in the fall. All right?
Okay. Thank you very much, Evelyn. Good luck with that.
Do you like this picture I put up on the screen?
Yeah,
That's what it looks like.
Ooh,
that's
ugly.
Peach leaf curl. It's really ugly.
Yeah. as we wave bye-bye to Evelyn there, leaves the line open, or maybe two by now. Anyway, in Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free at 1-866-740-4740. And we're up to our first little break here, so we'll do that and come back and say hi to Alice in Mount Hope, waiting on the line here for The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty. Now we're set to have Alice join us here on the show from Mount Hope. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question. I have a row of evergreens, and a couple of years ago, we trimmed all the bottom branches. Now, there's all these roots on the surface of the ground. Mm-hmm. If I cut them, am I going to kill the trees?
You might. Is it like a cedar hedge, or is it a bunch of spruces?
It's spruce. They're spruce trees.
Okay.
And they're probably, I don't know, 15 to 20 feet tall. They've been there quite a while.
Mm.
But it's just that all these roots have come onto the grass, and I was going to cut them, trim them, and I'm thinking, oh, I might kill the trees.
Yeah, well, those roots are there for a reason. Number one, they're helping the plants be stable. Think of some of the big winds we've had in these past few summers, particularly in my neighborhood. Two very large 40-year-old spruces fell over in one of those windstorms last July. So be aware that the roots are there for a reason in terms of stability and keeping the plants upright. When we have roots on the surface, and of course, it's never a good thing because we end up tripping on them and the lawnmower ends up hitting them, and it makes the whole lawn and the garden quite,
unattractive.
It's not attractive. It's not nice to walk on or any of that stuff. The reason that happens is because the plant, the tree is growing roots so high on the surface like that because of superficial watering.
Okay.
So when we put a sprinkler out and we water our lawn and we, penetrate about an inch down into the lawn, the trees in the area respond and grow a bunch of roots in that top inch to maximize their access to that water. So around our trees, it's super important that we water deeply. Always, just from when they're young till they're old, encourage deep roots and avoid that superficial rooting. Once it happens, there's not much you can do. I wouldn't remove them. I would, though, consider slowly, if you can, raising the grade a tiny bit. So slowly, as in kind of a half an inch at a time, spring and fall, adding that half inch of lawn soil or triple mix or any kind of a soil
cover
mix.
Cover the roots up.
Yeah, onto the lawn and slowly but surely raise that grade. Now, you don't sort of add a foot overnight, so it's a process. And remember as well, if you are doing any watering or if you have an irrigation system, ensure that it's a good deep watering that's taking place, not superficial ones.
Okay.
That's
thank
my
you.
Best
good
suggestion.
Good luck with that, Alice.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for joining us here on a Saturday morning. Just before we get to our next caller, you have an email wanted to deal with, right?
Well, yeah, it's actually on the same kind of subject as what we were just having, that it's about trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the listeners, Sally Stanley, who's written in. She sent in some photographs, and she's quite sad because her beautiful Japanese maple, it's an Inabi Shidari Japanese maple, is not showing robust growth this year, and she's wondering why. Oh. So she lives in Innisfil on the waterfront of Lake Simcoe near the Innisfil Beach Park. So it is edge of its hardiness. So we, and this winter was not – it was a – a hard winter on a lot of the plants because we had some extreme cold and then we'd have, you know, ice and, and wind, lots of wind. So depending exactly on how much coldness this plant was, exposed to over the winter, there, we always typically have some dieback, excuse me, in our Japanese maples. So this little tree, of course, she says has been very much, planted close to the house. It's not getting a lot of wind off the lake. It does face south, gets watered from the irrigation system. Fifth year had, it's been a beautiful plant, but for some reason this spring, not leafing out a lot. She's seeing buds, but she's not seeing leaves all over the whole plant. And Japanese maples are kind of famous for doing this. So if anybody's experiencing this or on any deciduous plant right now, a plant that should be in leaf is not, get out there, look for all anything that's dead, remove it right away. And today's a perfect day until it starts raining. Always prune when it's dry. So get out the dead. Then look closely at the plant. You're seeing that it's alive, but those buds are still dormant. There is something called delayed dormancy where the plant just keeps like looking over its shoulder going, hold on.
Is it time yet?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't trust this. I know they tell me it's June, but it doesn't feel like June. So I'm going to just wait a while. So you have to force that plant out of dormancy. And the way you're going to do that is by pruning the tips. So you're going to get out your sharp pruners. You're going to take off anywhere from an inch to, you know, more inches if you need to, off every branch. And the buds that are left behind should now pop open because you're forcing them open because you're saying, wake up, it's time to get growing. And that's your best way of forcing plants out of dormancy. Of course, remember, spring is when we fertilize. So look after these plants, feed them, make sure they're getting good compost around the base. Japanese maples love a cool, moist area, but not a wet spot. So, and a southern location could be great unless it's just too much sun because they like, you know, half day sun and protection from the wind. So Sally, it sounds like you've done a lot of the right things. Just get out there and do that pruning and talk to this plant. Say it's time to wake up.
Come on.
It's now June. It really
Even
is.
Late for work. Okay. Good stuff. Thank you for doing that. Reaching for the bell, Franklin, it is one more time.
Nice.
This is for Diane in New Hamburg, first time caller. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is the sun shining there?
It is. Well, actually, yeah, it is.
It is. It is here, too.
Nice.
Fine. I have a rhubarb patch, and, of course, it's gone to seed. There's shoots coming up.
Yeah.
Wondering whether you cut them off or do you pull them out at the bottom?
Who, the leaves?
No, the stalk, the seed.
Oh, so you don't, well, you can just cut it off, like, don't pull it. I would remove it by cutting it.
Okay.
But, because you don't want it to go to seed, obviously? I mean, you can.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
You don't. Okay.
Should it?
Well, if you're still harvesting it, then no, you don't want it to go to seed. You want just leaves. You want to encourage leaves. Don't let flowers happen. But if it's just going to go into the rest of the summer being a plant, nothing wrong with letting it flower. It shouldn't be seeding in the sense that little seedlings are going to come up from it. So
it's just, I always think it takes the nourishment out of the rest of the rhubarb that I want to still pull.
That's exactly right. So yes, if you are still harvesting, then totally don't let it go to flower.
Okay. So cut it off.
Cut it off. Yep.
Okay. And it still keeps coming. I don't know why, if it's been all the rain or what's going on.
I know. It's an interesting spring. It's cool. Many of the, like rhubarb likes it cool. It's starting to chew to flower because it's starting to respond to warmer weather. But they'll just keep on cranking out leaves if it stays cool and wet. Why not?
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
Diane. Very welcome.
You got it. Let's see. Oh, hey, we're heading international.
Nice.
Across the border here to Buffalo. Hey, that's for Joe, first-time caller. Good morning,
welcome.
Joe.
Welcome, Joe.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have two little fig trees, and I'd like to make a 4-cubic-foot little greenhouse for them. And I wonder how it basically works. How does it keep the... let's say the below zero Fahrenheit temperatures from freezing the pot that it's in. Do I have to put a little heat tape around them, or How does it keep the cold out like that?
Well, not cold? Necessarily. Like by building a shelter, like you're saying, very small by the sounds of it, you know, 4 square feet is only like a 2x2 shelter. Depending on where you locate something like that, if it's close to your house, or even off the house, you would have a certain amount of shared heat just from being close to the house. Out of the wind, obviously, again, it's not going to be as cold. And what you would make something like that out of, if it's just a really thin plastic, then all it's really doing is acting as a windbreak. It wouldn't be truly keeping the plants, the fig trees, warm enough. Here I do see quite a few people overwintering figs in greenhouses where it, even when we have no heat, we call it a cold frame. So it's just literally a shelter, keeps the plants dormant, but not warm enough, I would say. It really just kind of depends what the winter temperatures are. So, yeah, you'd have to really kind of look at what your options are. Yes, you can simply put some kind of heat. You can also put insulation around the pot. Expect the plants to go dormant, drop leaves, etc., but you want them to stay alive. So you want those roots to stay alive. I mean, I know people that dig up their figs and then tilt them down and bury them under the ground for the winter and then lift them up in the spring. I know people that bring them into their house, just put it in an unheated room or unheated garage for the winter. So it's just keeping them above that freezing point, around the freezing point, but not below. That's okay. Your challenge.
thank you very much.
You're all right. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, Joe. Have a terrific weekend, and we appreciate your patronage here.
Yeah, we love having first-time callers. Don't be a stranger. Coffee's always on.
We've got another first-time caller coming up in just a couple, but just jumping into the head of the line here, Sonia from Beamsville with us now. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. I called a while ago. You had a citrus specialist on, and I was talking with you about my Mayer lemon tree.
Right.
And when I brought it in, all the leaves dropped, and she said not to worry about it. Hers did the same thing. So about maybe 5 weeks ago, it started blooming, and it was just absolutely covered in blooms.
Good.
And when the weather turned nicer, I took it out on the deck. The only thing, a lot of those blossoms have dropped. There is still some blossoms, and there is a lemon tree, fruit that is the same size as last fall when I brought it in. So, I mean, it didn't shrivel up, it didn't drop off or anything. And it seems to be starting to grow a little bit.
Okay.
But I still have no leaves. And I was just listening to one of your callers. You were saying to prune it back. It needs to be shocked out of dormancy. Like,
yeah,
what do I do with this lemon tree?
So it was in your house all winter.
All winter,
and was it in a really cool, like, root cellar kind of place?
No, it was in off the kitchen, right by a sliding door. So it's lots of light.
And it never leafed out.
No, and it hasn't leafed out. And I did, yesterday there was some, just a few little branches that were totally brown, and I pruned them off.
Good idea, yeah.
And I can see that, you know, like, it's green. The plant is green, and it's...
Well, the fact that it formed flowers, it's definitely alive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I would use the same technique. I would do that. Wake it up. Shock it into if, you know, it's got enough energy to put out flowers. It certainly has enough energy to put out leaves, and it should put out leaves and take advantage of all the sunshine.
Right.
So, and sounds like, so you had it in a sunny spot. Did you water it much over winter? What was kind of?
Well, the lady that you had on, and I think you did also mention that, you know, to drop back on watering a bit over the winter.
Winter, yeah.
Which I did. Now, I haven't transplanted it in about 3 years. Would that have anything to do with it? Like, it's probably, you know, root bound.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, it's time to transplant if you look under the pot into the, you know, drainage holes of the pot it's in, and you see roots growing out of those drainage holes.
Okay.
Then yes, I would prioritize getting into a bigger pot because this is the time of year to do it.
Okay, I haven't seen. I haven't checked the bottom, but there is, like, surface roots showing.
Yeah. So, I mean, they are a fairly rooty plant. They do like to put out a lot of roots. It's been about 3 years, you say. How big is the pot?
It's probably about a
traditional 10-inch?
9 or 10-inch at the top. At the bottom, it's much smaller.
Oh, okay. So maybe not a bad idea. Get yourself a better pot. Of course, we don't jump up too much.
No.
But get a straight-sided. If it's a 10-inch pot now, go to a 12-inch pot.
Okay.
Fresh potting soil or soilless mix, moistening that in advance, and then do your whole thing outside on a day when it's not going to rain. Lay the plant down, get that old pot off. Trim roots if it's all root-bound, which it could be.
Right.
You may need to do some trimming. Get things sort of opened up so those roots aren't just going to spiral around, and get it into a nice fresh pot, fresh soil, stand it up. Water thoroughly, and at that point you could do some tip pruning and wake it up at the same time.
And so even though it's got some blossoms on, it's okay to transplant.
Yeah, absolutely.
keep in touch with us, Sonia.
Let us know
how it comes along, okay?
Yeah,
thank you so much. We have to take another little break here, which we'll do as you are hopefully enjoying the Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we're now headed toward Ancaster. Mm-hmm. There's Frank ready to join us here on The Garden Show. Good morning, Frank. Hi, Frank. Where'd he get to?
Good morning.
Hello, Frank.
Nope. He was going to ask a question about transplanting spirea, but he doesn't seem to be there.
Dropped off the line. Okay. All righty. Then that means that Frankie Proctor reaches for the bell because we have a first-time caller, Tom, on the line from Innisfil. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling. We have a tree here in really bad shape. Not too sure what the make of the tree is, but early spring, the squirrels have ripped the bark off all of the smaller branches around the tree. Mm. And the branches are all white.
Right.
Mm.
Hold on, would you please?
Yeah.
Turn it down. And I don't know. I listened to one of your calls earlier on. Mm. She was talking about some lime sulfur or something for a dormant spray.
Right.
Whether that would do anything or not, I don't know.
Yeah, what you need to do is you need to deter the squirrels from doing that. I mean, I've had situations. So is it a tree or is it a shrub? Like, is it a single stem plant or is it a multi-stem?
Pardon me again?
The plant that's being debarked, is it a single stem like a tree form, or is it a multi-stem like a shrub form?
Oh, no, it's a tree stem.
Okay.
A branch.
Yeah, okay. So, there are trees that have shaggy bark, and the squirrels and often the birds will take advantage of that and peel that shaggy bark and take it to use in their nests. So honeysuckle comes to mind. Honeysuckle is classic for having a real shaggy peeling bark. And much of the wildlife will peel that back and take it away for their own purposes. It can be detrimental. So,
what about plant skid?
Yeah, I was going to say there are products that are deterrents that will make the tree and its bark inedible or not taste good or smell bad. Something that I do recommend is a product called Plant Skid. One word, plant, S as in Sam, K, Y, D as in dog, D as in dog. So Plant Skid is a repellent. It will repel deer, rabbits, voles, and all kinds of small critters. It's completely organic. You can use it on edibles. And it will last a number of months. So that if you can get a hold of some of that, which you should be able to get at a local garden center, follow the instructions and do spray this tree with the hope that the squirrels will leave it alone. And then your job is to look closely, see if there's dead wood that needs to come off the tree, fertilize the tree. It is spring. It's a good time to be feeding all of our plants. Assuming this is a tree you want to, it's special. You want to keep it. So do what you can to make life happier for that tree and keep the squirrels away from it is my suggestion.
Okay. Cause I didn't know whether, because it looks like, the tree actually right now has no leafage, buds or anything on it.
Right.
And I was wondering if I could have just chainsawed the small branches that are white off it to see if the rest of it would carry on or not.
Right. Well, that certainly, like I mentioned earlier, for some people that to the email where the Japanese maple was still asleep. So we don't know, or I don't know. Your tree could be dead, or it could be that it's just delayed dormancy. It's not happy having lost a bunch of bark. So there is dead wood on the tree, but it may still have life in the root. So tip pruning is always a good idea to try and wake plants up.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling
in.
All righty. We're going to take a little bit of a break here because we've got folks lined up ready to go with more questions and maybe some tips too. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Coming up next here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, it's always great to get together with old friends. Werner from Tilsonburg, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning, Werner.
I just wanted to give you a head up.
Okay.
I put a patent on that tomato.
Really?
Really?
So you can't advertise it anymore.
Oh, okay. Really? You'd really bad.
Hey, I'm kidding you.
I was going to say, I think you can't do that in Canada. I think that sounds
I have an additive. Banana peels and eggshells.
Yes.
Make the best fertilizer for them. You just take the spade, save the bananas and the egg in a jar so the bugs won't get in it and put the. And when you got enough, you go and you put a slot next to the plant, any plant.
Any
deep
plant.
Deep enough and drop it in and cover it up.
Yeah, some people, go ahead, yeah.
It's supposed to be really good for the plant.
Well, some people take their banana peels, like you're saying, instead of keeping in a jar, they just throw them in the fridge, in the freezer, I should say. Just pile up those frozen banana peels. And of course, then there's no bugs. And eventually just pull out all your banana peels and thaw them out. And like you said, jam them in the ground.
I do it as I go.
Yeah, do you? Some people swear.
Fresh. When you freeze them, they might lose some vitamins.
Yeah, maybe. Shouldn't though. But some people swear by banana peels. Like every morning they have a banana and they go out to the garden and they take the peel with them and they put it. I know a woman who used to put her banana peel every single day at the bottom of a rose. And of course, by July, that rose was about 15 feet tall. Like it was huge.
When they see me coming, they take the bra off.
That's right. They do. Exactly. So there you go. Eggshells and bananas.
Always an interesting call from Werner. Thanks, Werner.
Good, guys. I enjoy it. I never miss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I promise I won't advertise your fancy skim milk powder tomato fertilizer ever again.
From Ancaster, let's welcome in Frank. Good morning, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. Sorry for that last call, which I lost you with.
Oh,
but anyways, let's get on with this. I'd like to know if I could transplant my spirea in front of my property. It's already bloomed, not overly flourishing, but and I want to move it only about 2 feet forward. Is it still, are we okay with transplanting, or are we into the growing season?
Well, it's still pretty cool out there, but part of what determines our ability to transplant is how long a plant has been in its current location. So has it been there for like 10 or 20 years?
Yes.
Okay, so that's
quite some time. But, it's kind of anemic. It's not getting enough sun. It's sheltered. And the one on the other side of the property just flourishes. Okay. We want to bring this one forward so it gets an equal amount of exposure.
Right. It is doable. Obviously, you're going to prepare your hole in advance. I would do some pretty severe cutting back on the plant because you are going to be doing root damage and leaving roots behind. Make sure that you do shrink the above ground growth by about a third. Dig the biggest root ball that you can, keep the soil around the roots, and be ready once you've moved it into its new location, the new hole, that it's a good quality, good compost has been added into the soil. Some
peat moss, perhaps?
Peat moss, some composted manure is always good. Mm-hmm. So a good fertile soil will make a difference. Water thoroughly, obviously, and I would use a transplanter fertilizer as part of this process.
I read you loud and clear now. You said to cut it back, like trim it with like my hedge, just hedge it back a bit. Is that what you mean?
Or? Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends what kind of spirea it is. You said it's bloomed already.
It's a bright yellowish lime color.
Are you sure it's a spirea, not a forsythia?
you know what? It might be. No, it doesn't bloom.
Oh, it doesn't. Oh.
No.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said it had already bloomed.
I'm sorry. I used the wrong term there.
Right. So the leaves are...
It's now flourishing into its growth. Its petals are out and that. Yeah, yeah. But my intention was to do, as you were describing, dig right around it so it's like not, if I can say this, aware of it's being moved. The ball will be heavy.
Yeah.
And I go 2 feet forward, back it up.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, I don't think I could lose on that. What do you think?
I agree. I was just, you know, I guess use hedge trimmers if you need to, but yes, trimming it back is not a bad idea. And many of the spireas do well by just getting a haircut. So like, the whole thing is given a trim.
I said hedge clippers. I could use my shears, my long bladed shears.
That's right. Yeah. Give it, shape it that way.
Yeah.
So just kind of depends what kind of spirea. The one I don't like giving it that kind of a haircut to is the one called bridal wreath spirea. It gets kind of a waterfall shape and long white fronds. And that one, I don't like giving that one haircuts, but generally speaking, spireas are fine. Just giving them the blades
or
the
encouragement. Give it a try.
All right. Well, you let us know how that works out.
I will get back, but it might not be till the end of the season.
That's fine. Even next spring, we'll be here.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Thanks.
And golly, do we have time for maybe a quick call?
We do. I just want to tell you quickly once.
Yes.
Elliot, my long-suffering partner, created a garden, planted this beautiful dogwood, loved everything about it, then changed the shape of the garden, made it bigger. And I said to him, okay, I know it's been there for a couple of years, but I need it moved. And he's like, how far do you want to move? And I said, about 2 inches. And he was like, what? Just trust me, it needs to move 2 inches. So he did. He dug it up and he moved it 2 inches and put it back in. And it does fine. It was fine. But it was just such a tiny move. So don't worry, Frank. Go for it.
Okay. Quickly, if we can't do Jim in Strabane. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I called last week about my sedum plants that had grown leggy in the dark, and I did trim them back, and they're doing quite well.
Good.
So I'm happy about that. What I'm calling about is asparagus in our garden. Mm-hmm. We've had asparagus growing there for maybe over 5 years, but the stalks coming up are really pretty skinny. We've put compost on, manure over time, but they just seem to be, you know, really thin. So we're taking them and eating them anyway, but should I be leaving the skinnier ones there to grow, or?
You can. I mean, it's all based on the root. I mean, you're allowing it at the end of the season to grow up and be a fern, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because that's partly where the roots, you know, get bigger and stouter and can put up bigger stems in the spring. So for your purposes, the skinny ones are the ones that always people tend to want when they're in the grocery stores. Yeah, they are the most tender as opposed to the real big tree-sized ones. So I wouldn't be overly concerned. And it is a process. So over the years, you are going to get, you know, coarser, bigger stems in the spring. But for now, enjoy harvesting, but don't harvest at all. Let some of them grow up.
Yes, absolutely.
For the future.
Well, we go out. There's a lot of wild asparagus in Ontario if people don't know. But anyway, we have a few places around here marked. And some of the stubs coming up there are, you know, just coming out of the ground are as big as your thumb.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Uh-huh. Been there for a long time. Good stuff. Thanks, Jim. We got to go.
Yep. Wow. Fresh out of racetrack.
You're going to
say
that.
My gosh. Okay.
And so you've got lots going on this afternoon.
Yeah. I'll be back from 1 to 3:30 and I welcome everybody to join me then.
Yeah. You're going to talk more about the Raptors? You've got special guests coming on or anything? Thanks, Frank. Thank you, Sebastian. Thanks to all our great callers. See you again next week.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
seniors
to me.
Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.